Our scripture this morning comes from Psalms 27, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will dwell in his tent, sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, the last couple of weeks, I've had some interesting experiences. We were traveling. We went to some good friends of ours to a wedding in Glacier Park, right outside of Glacier Park in Montana. So we drove out there, and we, Faith and I, my wife, we stayed in a bed and breakfast. So we're looking forward to that. I'd been to Glacier Park before. I just knew the beautiful vistas, you know, the Going to the Sun Road, for those who have been on that. It's a little squeamish on some of those hairpin turns, but just the sight and the grandeur, just looking forward to this whole experience. And so we were sitting there that first morning, and our host in the bed and breakfast, as everybody has breakfast together, and he's just kind of sharing some of the stories and wanting people to, if they're going to go on hikes, to be aware of a few things. And of course, if you're talking about Glacier Park, you want to be aware of grizzly bears. Really, grizzly bears. I was just thinking about the mountains, but there's a lot of grizzly bears in Glacier Park. And so this guy is telling stories. I'm sure he's wanting to get our attention, and he is. He's talking about the hunters who were hunting after some elk, and they had gotten an elk. But a grizzly bear showed up, and there were three of them with big guns, and the grizzly bear came after them. And they started pumping lead into the grizzly bear. And two of them got away okay, but one ended up in the hospital, one of the men, even though they eventually took down the grizzly bear. And his point was, don't shoot, spray. They have bear spray. And so they're saying, just do that, and you should be okay. And if somehow they make it through the bear spray, well, just lay on the ground and play dead. So I'm thinking at that point, hikes. Hikes in Glacier Park, is that really something I want to be doing? Is that something that's really common sense here? Because when you hear that going on, you got a choice, don't you? I got a choice that either I can be fearful, and I can say, forget that, even though I'm by this gorgeous park and they've got these hikes to these beautiful lakes. No, I think I'll stay in the B&B, crawl under the covers, and we're good. Or do I actually go out there and take advantage of what's available? And so today, as I'm thinking about this whole subject of fear, actually there's two different subjects or parts of fear. The one is whether it's a healthy fear or unhealthy fear. Healthy fear is the fight or flight response. It's where we encounter a dangerous situation, and immediately we have to decide whether we're going to face the danger, fight, or run from the danger, flight. Now, I want you to know, we had healthy fear. We drove out to the park. We did have a can of bear spray. We took two hikes, and we saw three grizzly bears, all from a car. And we were good. We enjoyed watching grizzly bears from a car. But let me tell you, there was this huge grizzly bear off to the side of the road, and there were some people just jumping out of their car, having their camera. They were going to take pictures. I don't know. But there's a healthy fear that says, you know what? I need to kind of keep my distance. I need to respect these animals of nature and not get too close. But then there's something called an unhealthy fear, where fear can literally scare us to death. Fear can cause us to crawl under the bed in the bed and breakfast and say, forget it, I'm not going out there. What if a grizzly bear attacks my car? Okay? I guess people in earthquakes have died from fear, not from the earthquake itself, from fear. So unhealthy fear can stifle us. It can hurt our spiritual walk, fill us with unbelief, and rob us of God's peace. So what can we do to overcome the unhealthy fear in our lives? Well, in Psalm 27, David wrote of fearful circumstances in his life. Now, this is obviously a psalm of distress. He said, when evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, though a mighty army surround me, even if I am attacked. See, David understood fear in his life. He faced lions and bears as a shepherd boy. He was belittled by his family. He was scorned by his wife, Michal. He was hunted by his king, Saul. He was overthrown by his treacherous son, Absalom, and had to run for his life. David stared fear in the face, and yet somehow he was able to overcome it. He was able to face and overcome the giants in his life. And so my question for today is, how can we do that? How can we do that? So turn to Psalm 27. Pull your outline out of the bulletin. Here we find four things that can help us overcome our fears. The first one is this. Remember God's character. Remember God's character. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? With all the fears that David was facing, he knew that when you're on the run for your life, it's easy to lose perspective of the God that you're serving. In Psalm 27, I guess I kind of see David stopping long enough to kind of catch his breath. And to remind himself that he did not have to live in the fear for his life. He served a great God. This great God was his God. Notice the language there. The Lord is my light, my salvation, the stronghold of my life. You see, biblical faith is relational at its core. Yahweh, God, calls us into a personal relationship with himself. In verse 1, David is reminding himself that God is light, God is salvation, God is strength. As light, God gives us a life that overcomes darkness. Verses 4 and 5 of John 1, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. As light, God is holy. 1 John 1:5, this is a message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is light, there is no darkness in him at all. See, we're often afraid of the darkness. And when we find ourselves in darkness, remember that God is light. Darkness hides the truth. God's light reveals the truth. In the Old Testament, we have a great story about the prophet Elisha, not Elijah, Elisha. The king of Aram was at war with Israel, and every time he came up with this amazing strategy to trap the armies of Israel, the Lord told Elisha the king's plans, and Elisha would warn the king of Israel, and the plan would be thwarted. It'd be defeated. Well, this happened time and time again. And when it was revealed that Elisha was the source of the information, the king of Aram, he had had it. So he sent this huge army to surround the city where Elisha was staying. And when Elisha's servant got up the next morning, probably to put the coffee on or something, and he looked out and he saw this amazing army all around the city, he panicked. He was afraid, understandably so. Well, when he told Elisha what the situation was, this was Elisha's response. He said, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's why I appreciate the song you guys led us in, the God of angel armies. That's what this was. This was a God of angel armies. And the God of angel armies, much more powerful than any other army. As salvation, God is David's deliverance and rescue. It's the same word from which we get the name Jesus, Yeshua. If Yahweh is Savior, whom shall I fear? Since the Lord will rescue him from his enemies, there's no reason to be afraid. And as a stronghold, God is David's refuge and strength. The original word here means fortified place, force, fort, rock, strength. David may have felt very weak and vulnerable at that point in his life, but he served a mighty and awesome God. Somehow, he had to remember that. It's a truth that would calm his fears and would strengthen his resolve to follow God's plan for his life. You know, it's especially in the tough times of life that we have to remind ourselves just who God is. That our Almighty God is the light that will overcome any and every darkness. He is our salvation who will deliver us. He is the stronghold to which we can run and be safe. Therefore, because of who God is, not because of who we are, because of who God is, we will not fear. We need to remind ourselves and each other very often about the character of our God. Another thing that can help us to overcome this unhealthy fear in our life is to seek God's presence. Seek God's presence. I talked about that a couple weeks ago, how in a thunderstorm one night when I was a kid, I ran into my parents' bedroom and I jumped in between them because I knew there I'd be safe. I was close to them. It was that presence. Well, so it is with us and God. Now, we know that we live in a very stormy world. We're not naive. That's the situation we're in a sinful and broken and fallen world. And while it's not essential that we always have peaceful circumstances, yeah, we'd like that, but it doesn't always work that way. It is essential that we know that the Lord is close at hand. I think one of the most proactive things that we can do to ensure freedom from the paralyzing fear in our lives is to be walking in a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. David wrote in Psalm 27, 4 and 5, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of a sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." You see, it's my prayer that the things that David is seeking are the same things that we are seeking in our relationship with Christ. Notice David's strong desire. It's to dwell in the house of the Lord. That's in the presence of the Lord. To dwell means to live in, to abide in, to be close to. John 15, 5, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And then gaze, he said. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. To gaze is to fix the eyes in a steady and intent look, and often with eagerness or, or studious attention. To gaze is to appreciate or love another person so much that we can't take our eyes off them. And when they come into the room, our eyes just kind of light up. Do we take the time to gaze on the beauty of the Lord in His creation and in His Word? Like I said a couple weeks ago, I did take some time to gaze. Now, I was driving, so I had to pull off the road in the mountains to gaze. Otherwise, my wife really wouldn't have liked it that much. But I did pull off, and I looked at all these mountains, and I was just overwhelmed by the majesty and the awesomeness of those sights. You guys here, you can go on a rainy lake, and you can just gaze at all the beauty, at all the immensity of the water and the trees around you. And then to seek Him in His temple, to seek is to experience the reality of God's presence in worship and praise. In the Old Testament, the Lord dwelt in a temple made of stone. Today, God desires to live in us, in His people, transforming us into the image of His Son Jesus as we worship and seek to please Him in all that we do. And when we are continually living in the presence of the Lord, then we know that we will be safe and secure in all the storms that life may send our way. For David, it was God's presence that made the big difference. In verse 5, David confesses, "For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." When I read this, I remember the words of Psalm 23:4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." Did you hear that? We don't have to live a life of fear. We don't have to even fear death when our God is with us. So what do? When you hear about horrible things happening, what do? When you hear about the high number of people dying in automobile accidents, but you don't know God? One of the things that on this trip of ours to Montana, I couldn't help but notice was as we were driving down the highway, I would see white crosses. I saw a lot of white crosses. People who died in car accidents. I mean, they were everywhere. And it's kind of a grim reminder of what can happen to us in our lives. But I'm just thinking here, we can't help but to either live a life of fear or, like David, seek God's presence. One of the things that happened a couple years ago in Wilmer, where I live, there was a ministry that came to town. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. The 99. You ever hear about the 99? I hadn't either. I think they come out of the southeast someplace. But what they do is they came to the mall and they set up this big tent. And the idea was to take people, maybe some folks who had experienced preventable loss in their own families, and what they do is they set up different scenarios in the tent, and so you kind of walk through these different scenarios of where people have died. And you think, well, that sounds gruesome. Well, it might be an accident, car accident, and they show that, the blood and the gore, or it could be drug usage, or whatever it may be. And so the people walk through that and they're faced up with the reality of death. And then, like myself and there's a number of other pastors that got involved on a volunteer basis, then we bring them into a room and we tell them the good news about Jesus. That you don't have to live a life of fear. That you can know Christ and you can know the hope of eternal life. But I thought that was interesting. They did face people up with the reality of fear and then they gave them the solution. You don't have to live in that kind of fear the rest of your life. So how do we overcome fear? By spending time in the presence of God. And then, If we're going to overcome fear in our lives, ask for God's help. Ask for God's help. Up to this point in our text from Psalm 27, David has appeared to be the rock of confidence in spite of all of his struggles and fears. However, in verses 7 to 12, we see another side of David, the fallible human side. As it turns out, like us, David was on a spiritual journey. He didn't have everything in his life all figured out or all together. You see, there are times when he could confidently run up to a 9 foot, 9 inch giant and take him down with a stone from a sling. And there are other times when he felt weak and he needed to cry out to God for help. Verse 7, hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not reject me or forsake me. Verse 12, do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. Could it be that David was not always confident in his relationship with the Lord and thus free from fear? Is it possible that he struggled with some of his fears just like we struggle with some of ours? See, I love David's honesty here. As he prays to the Lord and as he recorded his thoughts. You see, David had his ups and downs in life just like we do. But that didn't mean he didn't love the Lord or desire to follow him. He struggled. He struggled with temptation. He struggled with sin and fear. And yet, in spite of those struggles, he always felt free to come before the Lord honestly and openly and to earnestly pour out his heart to God. For David, prayer was the way to peace. It's the same for us. God knows that we live in a very broken and a violent world. And there are plenty of things that can come in on a moment's notice to disrupt our peace, to overwhelm us with fear. See, I don't know what's going on in your life, but our family has experienced fear in the last couple of years. You know, I've got a couple sons who are in the Air Force, and it's really fun. They're both pilots. And they fly really fast jets. And it sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? And so that's the good part of it. And they're doing what they love to do. And we support them and just encourage them all the way. But a few years ago, my oldest son, he was just on a regular training exercise. He was checking out an F-16 because he's an F-16. He's a fighter pilot. And all of a sudden, a plane that just came from another airport, just a Piper Cub, crashed into him. Mid-air collision, just out of nowhere. And his engine was knocked off, and F-16s have one engine. You don't fly otherwise. And there he was. His plane was falling from mid-air. He was fortunate enough to bail out. He was safe. The two people that were on the other plane were killed. But you know, he was that close to being killed. My other son, Nate, he's an instructor pilot. And what he does very well. But one day he was with a student. He was in the back seat. And they got into a situation. The student put him in a situation where Nate called us that night. He was shaking. He said, Dad, I thought it was done. Because he had done a simulation on that same scenario. And he couldn't get out of it. But God allowed him to get out of it. And they were able to fly out of that to be safe, and they were spared. So we don't know. All of a sudden, into your life that's going along just fine, you hear about something, and maybe it didn't turn out that way. Maybe it turned out where someone died. Someone you know and someone that was close. And so with these things going on in our lives, that's why we have prayer. Philippians 4, I'm sure you guys have that marked in your Bible. I have it in mine. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I really hang on to that a lot, because there's a lot of things I don't understand. How about you? And I just have to say, God, you just have to put your peace in my heart, because I don't have a clue, but I'm going to take hold of that peace by faith. My friends, God doesn't expect us to handle life on our own. That's why we ask for His help through prayer. That's how we overcome fear. And that prayer may be your own personal prayer, your prayer as a couple, your prayer as a family. I would encourage you to make it part of prayer meeting, which they have at church here, Monday night. That's a great, powerful meeting to be a part of that. Or maybe when you have a need, bring it to the prayer chain. We need prayer. We ask God for help. We're not ashamed about that, okay? And how do we overcome unhealthy fear? One more thing. Number four, trust in God's deliverance. Trust in God's deliverance. I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. When we are confronted with distressing circumstances in our lives, we have two choices: faith or fear. Faith or fear. Atheist philosopher Bertrand Russell said, "The older I get, the more nervous I become." David said in verse 13, "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So let me ask you this. What is your response to the challenges and to the problems of life? Faith or fear? Trusting God with our lives is important, but it doesn't mean it's always easy. A couple of verses that have been coming up to us this summer a lot are familiar verses to many of you, but they've been kind of dusted off and refreshed in my own heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Fear. We all face it. We all hate it. We don't want to live that way. The good news is that God doesn't want us to live that way either. So when fear comes knocking on your door, remember God's character. It gives us perspective. It's not about us and our problem. It's about God and His character. Seek God's presence. When you live close to God, He will exchange your fears with peace. Ask for God's help. You can ask anytime, anywhere. Ask for help. And either He will change your circumstances or He'll give you the peace to endure your circumstances. And trust in God's deliverance. You can always trust God to be confident that no matter what happens, He will catch you, He will help you, He will never fail you or forsake you. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, fear is something that's very real to us all. And we realize there's a healthy fear and there's an unhealthy fear. Lord, a healthy fear is to fear the Lord, to fear You, to be in great respect and awe of what a great God that You are. But an unhealthy fear is when we focus on all the negative things of life. We focus on what we're going to do to fix it. And sometimes we get so buried with our problems, with our concerns, we feel overwhelmed that we're not living with You and we're not living for You. We're so distracted. We're so discouraged because we're looking in the wrong place. Lord, help us today to look to You. Whatever giants may come into our path, You already knew that ahead of time. and you're going to make us stronger, and you're going to help us to realize just how much you love us always, and you will never fail us or forsake us. So, Lord, help us today. If there's something in our hearts right now that has been an issue of fear that has distracted us, we give it to you right now. We don't want to carry that anymore. You don't want us to carry it anymore. We surrender that fear to you. Just take it far from us and give us your peace. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.